As I left my workplace and boarded the empty jeepney one dark night, I felt unease. There was just me and the driver. I brushed it off and sat down, convincing myself that I was just thinking negatively. Still, it's understandable to be wary, given all the news shown on TV of horrible crimes involving drivers and, in certain cases, lone passengers. As we approached my stop, I summoned the guts to ask the driver to drop me off. But to my amazement, he only glanced at me in the rearview mirror and kept driving. Panic started to chew at my insides. Why didn't he stop? What was he planning? My mind raced with horrifying possibilities as the minutes dragged on. Was he taking me somewhere secluded to harm me? Was I about to become a victim of some unspeakable crime and be part of the statistics? Finally, after what felt like an eternity, he pulled over and let me out. I scrambled to exit the vehicle, eager to put as much distance between myself and the driver as possible. But before I could flee, he called out to me. I turned to face him, my heart thumping in my chest as I prepared myself for the worst. Then, in a deep, solemn voice, he spoke.
"Yeah, you should burn your clothes,"
he said solemnly.
"When I look at you through the mirror, you had no head. Believe me or not, it's a sign of impending death."
I staggered back, my blood running cold. Was this a nasty joke? Or was he telling the truth? Trembling, I thank him and dash away, my mind running with fear and confusion. I work up the guts to tell my Lola about the incident when I got home. After she heard what happened to me, without hesitation, she told me to take off the clothes I was wearing right away. A few minutes later, I saw her in her backyard, stuffing my clothes into an empty barrel. She then doused the clothes with lighter fluid and struck a match, setting my clothes on fire while I watched. After a 15-minute wait in front of the elevator, my patient and I both felt a sense of relief when the elevator doors opened. I pressed the 14th floor where I would accompany my patient to receive the results of his lab test. And then, the elevator doors closed slowly behind us. The only sound accompanying our journey was a gentle hum of the elevator as my patient and I stood in the cramped space. But our tranquility was short-lived when we stopped at the 5th floor. The doors opened, and just as the elevator slowly closed its doors and began to ascend, I watched a woman dash towards us, desperately attempting to get inside before the doors closed entirely. I instinctively clicked the closed door button. My decision didn't go unnoticed by another passenger. He turned to me, his expression a mix of concern and slight anger, and asked why I hadn't let the person enter the elevator. I hesitated for a moment, unsure of how to respond. Then, gathering my thoughts, I stated that the woman was wearing a red wristband, indicating that she had died. Told him in a casual way that it was hospital protocol to not let deceased patients in the same elevator with living persons like us. My patient appeared startled after I provided my reason to the stranger and chuckled afterwards, assuming it was my way to humor our co-passenger in order to avoid further escalation caused by not allowing the woman to enter the elevator to save time. To my surprise, my co-passenger lifted his arm, revealing a red wristband of his own. My heart skipped a bit as I processed the implications of his gesture and focused intently on the printed and written information on his red wristband. As my patient smirked and asked us if this was a practical joke. Before I could say anything and assure my patient that this isn't a joke, since this was indeed my way to avoid dead patients who don't want to rest in peace, that I do not know our co-passenger, the elevator lurched to a stop, the lights flickering ominously overhead. A sensation of dread fell over us as I realized we were imprisoned in this cramped space with no way out. And when I turned to face my co-passenger, he revealed his true face, scarred, bleeding, and lifeless. As a group of medical students, we frequently felt ourselves trapped in the tedious repetition of our studies, looking for anything fun to relieve our lack of excitement. One evening, while we lounged in our residence hall's common area, someone suggested a prank to lighten the mood. The idea was fairly sick. Borrowing a human hand from the dissecting laboratory and placing it in the bed of one of our fellow medical students, who happened to be the mastermind's girlfriend. It seems harmless enough, a touch of dark humor to mix things up. With a mix of nerves and excitement, we entered the laboratory and obtained the required prop. We crept up to her bed and carefully placed the severed hand under the covers. Tried our best to conceal our giggles and laughter in anticipation of our victim's reaction. But as we hid behind the corner, waiting for her return, I had a stunning realization. The student who had the key had accidentally left it in the door. Before he could grab it, she arrived, not aware of our presence, and effortlessly unlocked the door with the key still in the lock. We exchanged frightened glances as she entered her room and locked the door. Our friendly joke had taken an unforeseen turn, and we were now unable to intervene as the situation became out of hand. Moments later, piercing screams resonated down the hallway, sending chills down our spines. We frantically tried to reassure her, but her sobbing only grew louder, with a sickening feeling in our bellies. We felt We needed to act fast. We gathered all of our strength and pushed ourselves at the door, determined to save her from whatever horror she had faced. It felt like an age as we pounded against a solid wood, a shriek booming across the hallway. Finally, with a splintering crash, the door gave way to our efforts, and we rushed inside the room, our hearts beating. But the sight that greeted us was beyond anything we could have imagined. There she sat, in the corner of the room, her eyes lifeless and hollow, chewing on the severed hand that lay before her. Horror washed over us as we realized the shocking result of our foolish prank in that moment. The laughter died on our lips, replaced by a profound sense of guilt and remorse. Our misguided attempt at humor had irrevocably altered the course of her life, leaving us haunted by the consequences of our actions.